Okay, nice pleased to see so many. Anxious, I hope, to hear something about Krishna. Please, everybody, pray that Krishna will use me to speak. Otherwise, we don't have a chance. If we can open up and let Krishna use us, then we can do so many things. We try to do by ourselves, we're limited by our karma, which isn't very good in my case. So. This is First Canto, Chapter 12, Text Number 35. Ahuto Bhagavan Ragya Yajayitva Vijaya Rupa Nipam Vasa Patichin Masan Suridam Kriyakam Yaya Ahuto Bhagavan Ragya Yajai Twa Dvijaya Nripam Uvasakati Chinmasa Suridam Priyakam Yaya Ahuto Bhagavan Raja Yajai Twa Dvijaya Nripam Vasakati Chinmasa Suridam Priyakam Yaya Ahuto Bhagavan Raja Suridam Priyakamyaya Ahuto Bhagavan Raja Bhagavan Rajan Aitva Jujayanikam Vasa Katichin Nasan Aidyam Priyakam Yaya. Ladies, Ahuto Bhagavan Raja Aitva Jujayanikam Vasa Nanchen Rasam Suridam Priyakam Yaya Ahuto, being called by Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, Ragya, by the King, Yajai Twa, causing to be performed. Dvijam, by the learned Brahmanas. Nipam, on behalf of the king. Vasa, resided. Katichit, a few. Masan, months. Suridam, for the sake of the relatives. Priyakamyaya, for the pleasure. Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born brahmanas. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Everybody repeat this. Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, being invited to the sacrifices by Maharaj Yudhisthira, saw to it that they were performed by qualified twice-born brahmanas. After that, for the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhisthira to look into the supervision of the performances of yajna, and the Lord, to abide by the orders of His elderly cousin, caused the performance of yajnas by learned twice-born brahmanas. Simply taking birth in a family of brahmanas does not make one qualified to perform yajna. One must be twice-born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide acharya, the once-born scions of Brahmana families are equal with the once-born sudras, and such Brahma bandhus are unqualified once-born scions, must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Sri Krishna was entrusted to look after the arrangement, imperfect as he is, he caused the yajnas to be formed by bona fide twice-born brahmanas for successful execution. Om Agyana Timirandasya Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Hena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Upesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripe Chibhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevya Vana Tanya Prabhu Nityananda Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarane. The interesting word Prabhupada uses is, I don't know how to pronounce it, Sion or Sion. The first meaning is it's a cutting from a plant, you know, when you graft a stick from one plant onto another one or something. It also means a descendant. So Prabhupada he stressed that all the time, that twice born Brahmins, not just born once with the name of a Brahmin family. We meet all kinds of sharmas and stuff all over the world that are engineers and accountants and not doing Brahminical work. Some of them are devotees, so that works out. But mostly, I ask them, what are you doing? You know, you're born in Vrindavan, you're Brahmin. Why are you in Japan? Money! Okay. So, that's not exactly Brahminical. But the yajna has to be done. We're very fortunate that the yajna for this age, the Maha Mantra, Harinam Sankirtan, of course, depending on the spiritual position of the performers, makes a difference. But it doesn't have to be everything perfect like these other yajnas. Everything has to be exactly perfect. Every syllable, every accent, every, whatever they do, all the different mudras. Any little mistake and it changes everything. So that Krishna was called on to judge the brahmanas and make sure they do all right. And they had like a referee and they'd be chanting mantras and they'd say, and I heard that it was some years ago in South India. They tried that, and every time the referee would point out, they'd all argue, no, and everybody thinks they're right. So yajnas don't really work in this day and age except for the Maha Mantra, except for the Sankirtan yajna. That is a yajna for this age, and we can see the power of it, the fact that you're all here, and that there's temples all over the world. And Srimad Bhagavatam classes all over the world. There's always one going on somewhere. There's always a Mangal Arati somewhere. Which is interesting because in this day and age, so many people have to work, night shifts. But they can go to Mangal Arati when they get home in another country or something. They just tune it in on the internet. So Krishna, he was obliged to, set up the whole war and everything so Yudhishthira could be the king. And all the trouble the Pandavas had was not karma. It was, Krishna was just arranging all that to show how one should deal with life, And none of us ever have the kind of problems that the Pandavas had. Our problems are quite small. But when Narada Muni was looking for who got the most mercy of Krishna, in the Bhagavatamrita, he was going to, the king and the Indra and Brahma, and they were all telling him, no, 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 there's someone else. And finally got to the Pandavas. And Yudhishthira said, don't tell anybody that I'm a great devotee. He said, anybody hears all the trouble I've had, nobody want to be a devotee. They think that's what happens to you if you're a devotee of Krishna. Dangerous, right? Devaki, Vasudeva, Kunti, the great devotees and what they went through, but it's not karma. In our case, even Prabhupada would say, it's my karma if he got some cut or something, Sometimes he said it's the karma of his disciples, taking too much karma. But Krishna was obliged, so he did three Ashwamedha yajnas. It was a huge endeavor in Ashwamedha yajnas. Nobody could even know anything about how to do it now. The animal was sacrificed, but he'd come back to life somehow or other, a new body. But it was for the benefit of the whole earth, the whole kingdom, to purify everything after that terrible war. Now, you know, not much yajna is going on except for the Sankirtan movement. If Brahmins are doing so-called yajna mostly, it's just, you know, business they made, right? And come to your house. Buddhist monks also in those countries, you know, they make a business of going and doing whatever they do. And funerals, marriages, a lot of big business. There are some, like, we were in Tibet, a very huge monastery there, and hundreds of monks. Every day they would go in their one room, and they would, for 3 hours, chant prayers for the benefit of the world. So there are people still thinking like that, but to thank them. And we have to think like that also, that how are we going to spread this Sankirtan movement? Because what is it? There's so many so-called problems in the world, and different people are trying to sell, basically sell solutions, right? Get this vaccination, do this, go here, go there, you know. Work hard, get rich, and then you'll be protected. You know, all kinds of crazy ideas. So, but devotees should think that why we're having all, and of course it's Kali Yuga, but even wars were always, you know, there were so many wars in the history of the universe. The Asuras and the, they're always fighting from the very beginning. But we should think, you know, we haven't preached enough, we haven't spread the holy name enough, we haven't done enough, you know. We don't have enough concern for everyone else, too much concern for ourselves. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Kabe jiva doya, hoibe udoya, nija sukha buli, kodiya ridoya. You know, when will I give up my, you know, I have compassion for all the jivas, and when will I give up to trying to enjoy myself? When will that really take place in my heart? Then, sakaha tahala kodive prachar. Then in a humble state of mind, I can go out and preach the holy name of the Lord. When you preach like that in a humble state of mind for Krishna's pleasure, intention is everything. Many people are realizing that. You know, whatever you're trying to do, why you're doing it is what's really important. What is your consciousness? Even a doctor, if a doctor has really genuine compassion and care for the patient, the medicine will work much better than if he's just trying to give out the most expensive medicine. Like sometimes they do that, right? And if we're preaching, you know, if we're just trying to help people, we're trying to be compassionate, trying to have faith that this is going to help me and it's going to help everybody. But you were just reading Brahma Samhita, and I'll read the one more verse. They said to go in the last verse of the chapter is the next one. Then one. Ragya bayanu dhyata krishnaya saha bandubi yayo dwaravatim brahman Sarjuno Yadubir Vrata. O Shonaka, thereafter the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhisthira, Draupadi, and other relatives, started for the city of Dwarka, accompanied by Arjuna and other members of the Yadu dynasty. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Another chapter down. When you were just reading Brahma Samhita, you probably know Lord Chaitanya found that copy. There's only one chapter. We don't know how many there were, but I don't know if it's anybody's going to find it sometime. Or I guess so many scriptures have been destroyed in India throughout the ages, and ravages of time, and also just the demons come and burn the libraries and stuff. But you can't, the knowledge is still there. Fortunately, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita are intact. And we have the highest knowledge. So he found this Brahma Savita, got really excited, glorified it like anything, and carried it back to Navadvipa, and everybody started copying it. And then we have it. So there's one verse here, it's towards the end, 61. I don't know, you know, we chant it. I don't know how much of you have ever, you know, read the translations, but it's a really amazing book from the very beginning, you know, all about the universe and all the element, everything is there. Lord Chaitanya said, absolutely everything is there. He was so excited to find this. But we get a lot of questions, you know, most of you are grihasthas or students. How can we live? How can we have spiritual life and also material life? Right? Balancing. And it's not only devotees, everybody has to balance. And Krishna says we should balance our work and play and eating and sleeping and mating. All these things have to be balanced. And it's not easy juggling all the different things. But Krishna can help anybody. Krishna is time. So sometimes they say if you want to get something done, ask a really busy person. They do more things. You know. Although I heard somebody said, if he has a difficult task, he ask a lazy person. He said the lazy person will find an easy way to do it. But so Krishna says, Dharmam, this is Krishna speaking. After he heard Brahma's prayers there, these Govinda prayers, and Krishna was very happy. So he said, Dharma Nanyan Parichaja Mame Kam Bhaja Vishwasan. So it's almost the same as Bhagavad Gita. Yadrasi Yadrasi Shada Siddhir Bhavati Tadrasi Kurvan Nirantaram Karma Loko Yamanuvartate Tenaiva Karmana Jayam Mamparam Bhaktim Ichati. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. Dharma. What is it? Give up everything, Krishna says. Sarva Dharmam Parichaja. It means give up these good karma type of activities and just worship Krishna. That will cover everything. We don't have to do all the other yajnas and ceremonies and everything. So in some places, Hare Krishna is not popular. Like in Queens, in New York. You ever heard of that? It's a lot of Indian population there. So the brahmanas there, they don't like the Hare Krishna. Because the people that join the Hare Krishnas don't do all the yajnas anymore. They just chant Hare Krishna. So they don't like it. And we had that same thing in Bali. You know, they have a good business and really big. And convince people that, you know, they're going to go to hell if they don't give them so much money. And so Lord Chaitanya came to, and he was criticized also. This is not real Hinduism. This loud chanting is not Hindu. It's going to disturb the Lord who's sleeping now in the Chaturmasya time. And Nimai, they said he was a nice boy. Until his father died, then he got bad association with Srivas, and, you know, he's spreading his chanting all over the place. So these things are going on. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. So there's many seminars, many people telling you how to act ceaselessly in pursuance of your ideal, right? Get your dream. And they know, they're very good at it. They did it themselves. They gave up everything. They worked and sacrificed and got rich or became the best basketball player or something. But their goal is all wrong. That's the problem. Right? And they're just misdirecting people that if you just do like I did. And by karma, not everybody's going to succeed anyway. And if you could become the richest man or something. Some people are born very rich. Some people just do one little thing and become very rich. Like the guy who made that Hotmail, sold it for so many millions of dollars. You know, of course, I guess it took him a while to invent it. But so they act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me by means of these deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the Supreme Service. So Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, also in chapter 18. One can perfect his life by doing his work, but yet think of Krishna. I'm doing this for Krishna. Krishna gave me the ability to study or the ability to have this job. He created the job. Everything is given by Krishna. So if we offer the results to Krishna and we think of Krishna, you know, thanking Krishna all the time, then you can perfect your life. Because still people thinking, you know, spiritual life means you have to become a monk or something. But you have your jay shetty and think like a monk, I guess. People that somehow think monks are interesting, you know. I remember when I was in high school, they took us to a monastery, the church group. That was a Catholic church. I was in the Protestant church. And so we'd never, you know, really seen any monks or anything. And then they said these monks get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they meditate for so many hours. And I was shocked. How can it, you know? You wouldn't want to go to sleep till 3 o'clock in the morning. You know? But it did impress me. It took a long time for it to manifest. You know, they all look so peaceful. I never seen anybody like that, you know. And the whole atmosphere was so nice. But then you get back and all the advertising and all the crazy stuff and the school and everything, and parents telling you, just get rich and everything will be all right. It doesn't work. So there's a very wonderful purport. These purports are, you know, by Bhaktisiddhanta. And it answers so many questions that we get from the devotees of all different levels. But, so I'll just read some of it. The function characterized by unalloyed devotion is the real function of the individual souls, jivas. All other varieties of function are activities of the external cases. These exoteric and esoteric dharmas are manifold, non-differential knowledge of the Brahman among the extinction of the individuality, the Ashtanga Dharma having as goal attainment of the state of exclusive existence, Kaivalya. So he's describing the different goals. Then I like this one. Atheistical fruit of ritualism. You can repeat that. Atheistical fruit of ritualism. It's a common thing, right? In all different religions, and sometimes not even religion, but the ritual of just studying or working hard, you know, practicing to get your whatever you're after. Atheistic fruit of ritualism aiming at the material enjoyment. Then jnana yoga dharma, seeking to combine knowledge with fruit of activity and the practice of function of barren asceticism. Asceticism means, you know, austerities, which a lot of people think that's what monks do. Of course, Prabhupada said that those kind of austerities, just preaching in Kali Yuga is much more, but, you know, sitting in the ice water all in the winter and around the fires in the summer and not eating, holding your arm up for 12 years or something. Seen that? They have to have a guru to do that. Then to get it down, like it's a really long process because it becomes dead, you know, just stuck. And people give them donations, and it's a wonderful thing. Getting rid of all these, serve me with pure devotion, rooted in faith. This is very nice. Exclusive faith in me is trust. Faith in the form of trust, by the process of gradual purification, tends to become a constant engagement, nishtha, an object of liking, ruchi, an attainment of an attachment, asakti. The more transparent the faith, the greater the degree of realization. So, faith is a good question. You know, now, some people call faith just means I'm a Christian or a Muslim or a Hindu, that's my faith. But in this case, it's deeper. It means trust. Right? To trust the spiritual master, trust Krishna, trust the scriptures. And the more we just accept it, then we make more advancement. When Lord Nishinanda opened up the Namhatta, the marketplace of the holy name in Bhaktivinoda's song, he says, and the price was faith, how much faith you have, and that's how you get the holy name. He said, if you have 100% faith, you get Krishna 100%. If you have 50%, 10%, you get that much. If you have imitation, counterfeit faith, then you get imitation Krishna. And you won't be very happy. So, someone makes a show, but they're not really having any faith. They'll think, well, this is no good, you know, it doesn't work. Someone has simple faith. They don't have to be scholarly. They don't have to be anything. Just have faith, and then they'll get Krishna. Like that Brahmin in South India, he was chanting the Bhagavad Gita because he had faith in the Guru's order. He couldn't really read properly, but he was trying. And people laughed at him because, you know, South India, they're very fussy pronunciation. And Lord Chaitanya saw he was in ecstasy, and he admired him. And he said, you're the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita. Because he just, when he thought of Krishna driving the chariot and serving his devotee, he was just overwhelmed with ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him. And for 4 months he was there. He kept this Brahman with him all the time. Because he had transparent faith. If you ask how will the preservation and conduct of worldly affairs be feasible if one is continuously engaged in the endeavor for realization of bhakti? Anybody ever think that? Someone asked me that yesterday in one class, a boy from Africa. How can we support our family if we're, you know, doing, you know. So here's the answer. What also will be the nature of the endeavor for the realization of bhakti when the body will perish consequent on cessation of the function of the body? In order to strike at the root of this misgiving, the Lord said the world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities. Fill all these activities with meditation on me. This will destroy the quality that makes these activities appear as acts done by you. In other words, you'll realize I'm not the doer. Because most of these people that want to teach us how to succeed, I did it. When everybody else was sleeping, I was working. When, you know, and it's true. But also, they might have how many lifetimes? And then we find so many of them, they're really not happy people. They can't have nice marriages, you know, so many things. But so man lived by the threefold activities of the body, mind, and society. Eating, sleeping, walking, resting, sleeping, cleansing the body, covering the body, are the various bodily activities. So we know those are quite prominent. How many shops for fashion and haircuts and you go in a shop and it's all, you know, body soap and shampoo and then, you know, so many things. And taking care of the body. Then thinking, recollecting, retaining an impression, becoming aware of an entity, feeling pleasure and pain are mental feats. That's the mind and body, and then the other one is in marrying, practicing reciprocal relationship between the king and the subject, I pay your taxes, practicing brotherhood, attending at sacrificial meetings, offering oblations, digging wells, tanks, are the benefits of the people, maintaining one's relations, practicing hospitality, observing proper civic conduct, showing respect to others, various social activities. When they're performed for one's selfish enjoyment, they are karma kanda. So that's the whole point we have to understand, is what we do is not the real thing. Because everybody has to do the same thing. But why you're doing it, what is the purpose of, you know, so if we're doing this is for myself, I'm going to get elected, I'm going to be popular, I'm going to be rich, famous, you know, then it's karma kanda. Even if you're doing yogyas, yajnate nama, yajnaste. And I'll do some yoga in name only, just make a show. Then I'll be siddhoham, balavan, sukhi. You know, I'll be most powerful and happy. Everything will be fine. When the desire is attainment of freedom from activity by knowledge underlies these actions, it's jnana yoga or karma yoga. And when these activities are managed to be performed in this way that is conducive to our endeavor for attainment of bhakti, it's jnana bhakti yoga, the subsidiary devotional practice. But only these activities that are characterized by the principle of pure worship are called bhakti proper. My meditation is practiced in every act, when bhakti proper is practiced in due time while performing the subsidiary devotional activities in one's intercourse with the ungodly people. That we have to go to work. We have to work with karmis, right? Intercourse with ungodly people. But it can be done. So many devotees are doing it. And gradually, then if we practice getting up in the morning, chanting seriously, reading before we have to mix with the ungodly people, we'll be able to remember Krishna, see Krishna in everyone's heart. In such position, the jiva does not become apathetic to Godhead even after performing these worldly activities. This constitutes the practice of looking inward, turning towards one's real self, understanding that Isha Vasya Midam Sarvam, everything belongs to the Word. If worldly acts are performed in the bug manner, one does not get entangled in karma, even in hundreds of years of worldly life. Kurvan Karmani, what is it? That you should, but if you do this, you can live for hundreds of years without getting entangled. Then we can get the favor of Krishna, prasadam. So that's, you know, the basic, very important for all of us. And all of that is in the Bhagavad Gita, especially in chapter 18. But it's explained more in other places, like if you read the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto, then you find practically the same slokas sometimes. Sometimes there's more to it, more detail. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, we have symptoms of the mode of goodness, symptoms of the mode of ignorance, And there's just a few, because Krishna was in a hurry, you know. Everybody was waiting to start the battle. But with Uddhava, he had time, could, as long as he wanted. So it lists many different symptoms of the ignorance and goodness and passion, so we can understand things more deeply. But everything is there in Bhagavad Gita, so we're always in trying to distribute. People are, and the Bhagavad Gita is well known, that Prabhupada's movement has done, you know, huge changes in the world. And like in the early days, and still in Prabhupada's time, devotees in India said it's impossible to distribute books in India. Everybody has already. They said in Bengal, everybody said, well, I've written a book, can you help me publish it? You know, but everybody, and there's still a lot of Hindus say, we have, you know. They don't know what books they have, but they have some books, and they've never read any of them. They don't know what Bhagavad Gita is, but devotees just kept pushing forward and showing people, you know, the as it is Bhagavad Gita. Now people are looking for it, people are understanding. So you can distribute in, you know, 6 weeks. In India alone, 2.2 million Bhagavad Gitas. Where they are, I don't know. If they're in the warehouse, but, you know, a lot of them are out. Because we have to do that. The Muslims, the Christians, they're pushing. You know, they're giving their books everywhere. And they're, most of them are crazy, you know. Like in Nepal after the earthquake, the Christians came with Bibles and said, this is because of your bad religion. That's why this happened. That's why, you know, you become a Christian, there won't be any more earthquakes. But there's been earthquakes forever. And earthquakes, it's a sign of demons taking birth. When Hiranyakasipu, before they even took birth, the whole world, the universe was full of natural disasters. And when they actually took birth, you know, the whole universe became dark. It was just like really frightening. But that's what's happening now, you know. Because if we don't make it an atmosphere that's nice for more devotees to come, then more devotees will take birth. If we preach enough, if there's kirtan everywhere, people want to come. Even the demigods want to come. Lord Brahma told the demigods that the best birth in the universe is a human being on earth. And we think, well, a demigod sounds so much better, you know. You never get sick, right? Live really long. You don't have to go through childhood or anything. Just, bam, you're there and you can just enjoy and everything is cooked in ghee and everything is nice. And everybody's very beautiful. And all the flowers smell really good, and you know. But you're just getting your reward for whatever pious activity you did on earth, and then when the time runs out, you're finished. Like the hotels now, they have these electronic keys. So if you don't pay, the door won't open. Automatic. Even if you steal the key, it was useless because the computer has to turn it on. So you can win your holiday. You know, they have a contest. I don't know if they still do. They used to be in America. They had these TV shows and you could win. You win this big 2-week holiday somewhere. But then when the 2 weeks is up, you're just a poor guy again and back in your poor condition. So that's the heavenly planets. So for a devotee, they don't care about the heavenly planets. They just care about serving Krishna. The heavenly planets, it's easy to get distracted because there's too much pleasure. And the hellish planets is too much misery, too much pain. It's very hard to think of Krishna. But here we have balance. We have pleasure and pain. Some places are quite hellish, but even that leper that was suffering so much, the one that offended Shivas, and Lord Chaitanya said, you're suffering so much, and then you're going to go to hell and suffer much more. But then when he became humble and begged forgiveness from Srivasa, he was cured immediately. So this is the mystery of Lord Chaitanya. So we take shelter, chant the holy name, you know, keep it, you know, now we have so much facility to keep a kirtan around all the time, our lectures with all these, you know, internet and so many, you know, everything's right here and access. We have to be careful and access that, you know, so that our memory banks and our, you know, are filled up with that so that we can be reminded of Krishna. Because Bhagavad Gita is giving all the, you know, what is the mode of goodness, mode of ignorance, and devotee just sees it. But the key to that all is that behind all these modes of nature, which are doing everything, we're not really doing anything, is Krishna. And then we can just see, okay, there's a mode of ignorance acting, and not get carried away by it. And know what is what, so we can practice trying to be. Because if you read about the mode, if you go in the Bhagavad Gita and you just read the verses about the mode of goodness, it's very attractive, you know. And then it has to go one step further, because the mode of goodness is selfless service. That's being promoted a lot. I just saw it somewhere. Yeah, I didn't get a chance, but at Mira Road, when you go down the road from the hospital to the temple, yeah, I don't know if devotees, but the first one says selfless service, you know. But real selfless means it's for Krishna. But that's admired by anybody, you know, that someone voluntarily works and not getting paid for it, try to help people, you know, it's glorious. So, but real selfless service means for the higher self, for Krishna. So the mode of goodness is doing it without expectation of any return. Whatever you're doing, charity or, you know, planting trees or digging wells, all those things, without wanting your name on the trees and, you know, name on the wall. This fan was donated by somebody. Of course, that sometimes inspires people, but. But then the higher thing is doing it just for Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure. Not just for society or for some other people. For Krishna. For devotees. If we serve devotees, then Krishna likes that. More than serving him. And as, you know, devotees, we all need help. We all need service. Any devotee. And that, and a real advanced devotee sees everyone as a devotee and wants to serve everybody by giving them Krishna, giving them the holy name, making everything available and everywhere. I went last Sunday night to Bayander. They have a temple there, but it was just in some shop room, you know, like a shop where the steel door comes down, you know, but. And it wasn't very big, completely packed with devotees, and Lord Jagannath, like this big, took up the whole one wall, you know. And it's only 10 minutes from the Mirror Road Temple. And said we should, the devotees said, we need a temple at every train station here. There's so many people in Bombay, and it's not that easy to get around, you know, to go here from that side of the city, or, you know, it takes all day then to travel. And so we need every, we have to make available everywhere the holy name, chanting parties everywhere, book distributors, that's going on a lot. Book distributors are everywhere. People are getting books. Then we have to meet them and help everybody read the books and, you know, understand, because meet people, they say, one woman in New York, she said, I have the Bhagavad Gita. A lot of people, they have the books. And they're favorable. I said, well, have you read it? Well, I tried, but it's too complicated. And I told her, I said, no, the book is very simple. It's not complicated. You're complicated. And she said, Yeah, you're right. But then just a simple thing like that, probably she'd read it in a different way, you know. But because our minds are so bewildered, people, they can't, the simple things just get right past you, you know. But people appreciate user-friendly goods, you know, that's why Mr. Jobs became very rich, you know, because he thought about that. But when he was making the first Apple computer, everybody said, "You're crazy, you know, nobody wanted a computer in their house." The first computer I saw was at the university, and it filled up a whole room, you know. And the disks were like this big, and the tape was like that wide. And basically, it couldn't do what your watch can do now, you know. Just fast calculations, you know, numbers crunching. And he said, that's because they've never seen one. Nobody knows there's such a thing. And somehow, you know, he was able to think like that. If Maya empowered him or what. But now everybody has one. Then you go in the remote villages. Besides it, your Casio watch is much more powerful than the first Apple computer. Can do much more things. Much more memory, you know. But somebody gave me this one, but it's a bit much, you know. It tells time quite all right. It was telling the weather. Now it says it's not connected to the weather. I don't know how to do that. Then it has all these workout stuff, stress level, sleep. You can control the music on your phone. It has alarm clock that works. And it has stopwatch, flashlight, you know, quite far out. But then you have to charge it every week. And I just wanted to know what time it was without. Because if you take out the phone to see what time it is, it's too tempting to check something else. So it's nice to just know the time. And, you know, previously in the villages, and still, people know what time it is anyway. Just look at the sky, they know what time it is. And even in the night, you know, they know that. Time of the month, they know the season, they know the rain, they know everything. Now we have to have all this technology to do the basic stuff. But we can use it for Krishna. So we have all these amazing books. Prabhupada, you know, did such a huge endeavor, so miraculous. And just think about anything Prabhupada did. Now, I was saying here the other day, the Juhu Temple, such a years, and you know, the whole time he was in India, from when he first came back, he was dealing with that headache. And even after that, he got the land secured, and then they had somebody else who'd bought the land before was still trying to get something, and they had to settle that, you know, in court. So many things. And then even after the temple opened, there was still a few permits we didn't have, and they were really a headache to get them. And then Prabhupada's son made a lawsuit to take over the whole movement. He said it belonged to him, the inheritance, and I had to deal with that. Of course, he didn't win, and then this place, you know, he had a program at the Gita Bhavan there. And when he came out, he looked out the road and said, there should be a temple here. Why would he say that? And somehow the temple ended up here. It was never meant to be a temple. You know, it was an orphanage or something. And then they got one room. They got this room and I think one other. I remember the first time I went in the ashram, he couldn't even stand up straight. And it was really not very nice. But then it somehow developed and took over the world. So, and that's just two little places. It's what's still growing and expanding, plus going to America without any money and didn't know anybody. He just had the names of two people, but he never met them or had any correspondence with the Agarwals, just to tell them, I'm coming, you know. I mean, he had something, and then he sent a letter and told him when he would arrive, 1 month, 40 days later or something. And Sally, her husband was Indian, but she had no idea what she's going to do with this sadhu. But of course, she really liked Prabhupada. And then he went to New York, and he didn't know anybody there, just as Dr. Misha, who was a big Mayavadi. And he had yoga classes, and Prabhupada would come, and he really liked Prabhupada's chanting. So he had Prabhupada speak one time. And Prabhupada spoke on that Bhagavad Gita, never was a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. And it was so heavy that we're all individuals, and, you know, it's a very power, like really smashing the whole Mayavadi idea, you know. So that Dr. Mishra said, well, Swamiji, I think you can just sing, but you don't have to speak anymore. But still, they would go to his place. He had a countryside place also, and the devotees would go there. Prabhupada, first he lived in his house. He had a very nice apartment next to the park. But then he said, for some reason, it's not convenient. And he gave him a room at his yoga studio, but it didn't have a bathroom or anything. And Prabhupada have to walk. It's pretty far also. We went on a tour. It's at least 1 mile to Dr. Misha's house to have a bath and cook. And he cooked for Dr. Misha. And Dr. Misha said he saved my life because Prabhupada's healthy cooking, you know. Finally, he got enough money from the books to get a different apartment that had facilities. But he was in Upper Manhattan, and not much people there would respond. But he met a few people. Some of the people, Dr. Mishra's, they became interested, and then they started coming to see Prabhupada. The first room he had was like a cubbyhole office, you know. Just in Japan, we say one tatami, you know. 1 meter by 2 meters, something like that. And Prabhupada had his desk, he would sleep there, and he had to go outside for bath and stuff. And he just did that. And he kept writing letters and going out, meeting people. A few people would come and buy books. And you read the diary, it's unbelievable. Nobody came today. Somebody came and took a book, said they'd pay for it next week, and 35 cents for the bus, 25 cents for cauliflower or something, you know. He had every detail. But then all of a sudden, you know, a few people came, and from the Lower East Side, which has completely changed now also, very high class now. The building next to 26th Avenue was a gas station until a few years ago. Now it's a huge tower, you know, condominiums or something, or office building right next to it. All around the whole neighborhood, all up, you know, fancy restaurants. The whole 26th, the 2nd Avenue is all Indian restaurants, so many Indian shops. And when Prabhupada came, he was the only Indian around. He didn't even know if he could, you know, what he would eat. Everybody told him in America there's only meat. But they were, you know, vegetable shops. So he just, at age 70, after 2 heart attacks, and he did all that. So we had, you know, if we appreciate the gratitude, then we'll try to do whatever little bit we can to spread the holy name. And just by chanting, you can spread the holy name just by, you know, wearing tilak or something, and people see you, they think of Krishna. And by do whatever you can to give Bhagavad Gita and everything else. Now so many people are buying Srimad Bhagavatam sets, and inconceivable. When we first tried to sell Srimad Bhagavatam sets in America, it was... of course, there were no Indian people. But the devotees got this list of subscribers to this mystical magazine. And we call them up and say, we have these ancient books of mystic wisdom. And they have a look. And usually they have to give like time payments and stuff. People had every kind of crazy book in their house. And one woman called up and she said, come and get those books back, you know. And I said, what? Why? Just come and get them. Don't have, you know, just get them out of my house, you know. And so we went to pick them up. And she wouldn't say. And then the husband finally said, you know, these books say you shouldn't eat meat. Get them out of my house. That kind of, but now all kinds of people are buying them. Amazing. You know? Because of all the effort, all the kirtan, all the books that have been distributed and all the online stuff and even all these other people, you know, that are all over America now, all over the world, in the name of yoga, promoting, I don't know what, you know, godlessness. And promoting maybe jnana, karma, healthy living, but no God, no religion. And people are, Mahatma Prabhu, he's got a new book. It's not quite out yet, but it's called Spiritual, Not Religious, because that's the big thing. Is that here also? In America, it's a big thing. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Is this a religion? I say, well, what do you mean by religion? And they don't like that question. So, if you say no, some people want religion, but they, you know, it's not my religion. You know, so they want to be spiritual, but they don't know what spiritual is. It's because God without God. Without any control. Maybe a good person, which is nice, you know. But they don't even know what the mode of goodness is, a lot of them. But it's something. So he's studied it and worked it out and to help people understand, you know, what is really spiritual. Because there's all different ideas what is spiritual. Some people think that's ghosts, you know. Spiritualism in the whiskey shop, they call it spirits. You know. So the word spiritual, they don't know what it means. The word religious, they don't know. So Prabhupada always said the spirit soul, not just soul. Because he understood everything. But the Christians in America, they say only humans have a soul. What they mean is the ability to come to the temple and inquire and, you know, that kind of stuff. But the animals don't have souls. I was in Nigeria with the Konteya Prabhu in some university. So they always know we're vegetarian. And so one guy said, well, the church teaches us that animals don't have a soul. And he said, he's from Italy, and he knows the history of the Roman Catholic Church. So he said, well, the church used to say that black people don't have souls. That's what they said for the slaves. They're not human. So they're meant to be slaves. That's what God made them to be. And the animals he gave for us to eat, unless it's a dog or something, which we like, but... So now people are questioning, and there's one book, why do we wear some kind of fur, and why do we eat this, and why do we love dogs, and, you know, why are we discriminating between all the different animals? America, you know, that if someone is torturing or killing a dog, they can put in prison. But the same people that put them in the prison are eating all kinds of meat. thinking that, well, that's okay, that's what it's for. But the dog is for. Then when they find out that in other countries they eat dogs, they go and try to shut down their dog business. You know, so they, people need education, and only actually Hare Krishnas can give them proper education. So have faith, trust, believe it. You go back to Godhead no matter how difficult it seems, how far away it seems. If you just hang in there, you know, just hang in there, just day after day after day, one day at a time. You know, this Alcoholics Anonymous, that's their thing. One day at a time. They don't think I'll never drink again in my life, because then it's like, oh God, what if this happens? But one day, every day, today I won't drink, you know. And they talk to their friends and say, yeah, we won't drink today, we're going to hang in there, you know. If they get tempted, they have people they call up. So, same thing, you know. Today I'll follow everything, today I'll chant, today I'll, you know, visit the temple, either virtually or in real life. Somehow or other, just every day, and then your whole life will be over after a while, one day at a time. Right? So thank you very much. I don't know if I've gone over. Do we have any questions or comments? Got a big crowd here. Anybody? You believe what I said? When's for Sodom? That used to be my question when I first went to the temple. Okay, we know that. I said, when's the food coming? Prabhupada said most of us were made devotees by prasadam. So we stress distributing lots of prasadam. You know. Devamrita Swami, they asked him, he just came in America, how to get people make devotees. He said, just have really fantastic prasadam. And then they'll keep coming. And gradually they'll become devotees. Start to wonder, why is this so nice? You know, what's the difference? I use the same recipe, but it's not the same. You know? So we offer to Krishna. So offer your life to Krishna. Just like that potatoes or whatever you offer become so much better if you offer it. So if you offer your life to Krishna, just become better. That's all. You don't lose anything. We don't lose some. I've heard at least one person, you know, I can't afford to offer anything to Krishna. You know, what about my family? If we offer food to Krishna, it just comes back better. You just have to not eat for a few minutes, you know. It's not so bad. But it improves it. Even the taste, even materially taste. What to speak of the spiritual benefit. So you offer your life to Krishna. You offer everything to Krishna. 100%, then we get 100% Krishna. No more kunta, no more anxiety. All right, so if you want, we can, because it's 10 o'clock, so it's pretty late. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Yes. Maharaj Prakrit ki jai. Yes. Radha Gopinath, they're eating. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram.
Somebody can start a little kirtan. Kirtan.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna.